number 289 stands 1, 2, and 3. Oh, praise the Lord, his deeds make known, and call upon his name. Sing ye to him his praises, sing, his wondrous works proclaim. Number 289, 1, 2, and 3. To you from God's holy word, the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, and we commence with verse 45. The first reading of our confession, article 35, the first part. We believe and confess that our Savior Jesus Christ did ordain and institute the sacrament of the Holy Supper to nourish and support those whom he has already regenerated and incorporated into his family, which is his church. Now those who are regenerated have in them a twofold life, the one corporal and temporal which they have from the first birth and is common to all men, the other spiritual and heavenly, which is given them in the second birth, which is affected by the word of the gospel in the communion of the body of Christ. And this life is not common, but is peculiar to God's elect. In like manner, God has given us for the support of the bodily and earthly life, earthly and common bread, which is subservient thereto, and is common to all men, even as life itself. But for the support of the spiritual and heavenly life which believers have, he has sent the living bread which descended from heaven, namely, that Jesus Christ, who nourishes and strengthens the spiritual life of believers when they eat him, that is to say, when they apply and receive him by faith in the Spirit. Christ, that he might represent unto us this spiritual and heavenly bread, has instituted an earthly and visible bread as a sacrament of his body and wine as a sacrament of his blood, to testify by them unto us that as certainly as we receive and hold this sacrament in our hands, and eat and drink the same with our mouth by which our life is afterwards nourished, we also do as certainly receive by faith, which is the hand and mouth of our soul, the true body and blood of Christ, our only Savior in our souls, for the support of our spiritual life thus far. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, and we commence at verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What end if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing, profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12, thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus, our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Almighty and all-sufficient Lord, it is in thy condescending mercy that we are privileged for the third time in this Sabbath day to come up to the house of prayer to hear thy word and testimony, that it may deep impression to our hearts, Lord. Remember to that end us and our children, young and old, great and small. Open in this evening hour, an hour of thanksgiving, after the commemoration of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in this morning hour, thy word and testimony, and give us, Lord, that we may understand it, and that it may be as an open book unto us. We will hear again in this evening what is necessary for each and every one. Shall it be well for time and for eternity to be united with Christ by faith and to believe only in him, then we have life eternal in our heart. A life that never shall perish, but that stay with us, even over death and grave. Pour out thy Holy Spirit, Lord, and remember us together, and may this evening to a blessing for young and old, great and small. Strengthen everywhere thy servants. Anoint them with thy Holy Spirit, and grant unto us also what we need in this evening to make free our hands from the blood of this people. And give us with all earnestly and seriously to preach thy word in this evening, and that each and every one, those who came here to the table, and all those other ones who were sitting in the seats, Lord, that every man receive his own part in this evening, and that the Holy Spirit apply it to our heart, oh, bind it to the heart of young and old, and that it brings us to the right place in dust and ashes, but also that that language may be in our heart. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And that the Lord speak in mercy and in peace to our soul on the basis of the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Remember all the sick and all the afflicted in hospitals and institutions, housebound boys in the service of this country. Lord, spread out thy precious wings upon them together. And where it has pleased thee to favor us with rain so abundantly the last week, that our fields may be refreshed, Lord, oh, give us also for that blessing a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and be with us further. Bless the labors of our hands, each and every one in his place, called by the Lord and placed by him. And made it well, Lord, also in the serious times in which we are living, with the world and with this country and government and president. Oh, if it can be in thy counsel, Lord, preserve us. A foreign war that shall bring to destruction and take away thousands and millions of our people and children. Oh, we have deserved, Lord, that they come in thy anger and in thy wrath. But, oh, Lord, remember us in thy mercy and bring us back to thy word and testimony. And in the day of tomorrow, spread out thy precious wings upon us and our children. Guide and protect them, Lord. Especially prevent them from sinning against thee. And give us grace to walk in thy ways, that steadily hate sin and flee from sin. And that our life is not with the world, because if we live with the world, we shall die with the world. There is nothing else that lay in store for us as death than our life is without God and without Christ. Remember us and our children. Strengthen widows and fatherless. And be with all of us, with the pardoning of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 318, as far as it is necessary for collection. First for our church, and afterwards for our school. Number 318. The glorious gates of righteousness throw open unto me, and I will enter them with praise, O Lord my God, to thee. Number 318. congregation. The privilege under which we are living together are manifold, and we could say also marvelous. We have, of course, forfeited everything, and we have lost the right to the least of God's blessings. And not only in our daily life, but also for our spiritual life, the Lord takes care for that too. In the realm of nature, our fields are refreshed last week in a wonderful way. Abundantly a reason to acknowledge the Lord. But the difference when you see the face of the earth now of before, and the Lord is not obliged to do it, no, but it is only his mercy that he has done it. And in this Sabbath day we are privileged again to hear the word of God, but also to see with our eyes the tokens of God's love and favor towards his church in the celebration of the Lord's death. Indeed, the mercies of the Lord are very great towards us, but it brings with them a great responsibility upon young and old, great and small, because the Lord shall once acquire it from our hands. And then even when we were present with the administering of the sacraments, yes or no, it lays all before us. And of course it is true. It is only few out of this congregation that are partakers of the Lord's Supper. When we look to the whole congregation, oh, then we must say, how poor. And if we could say of all those who were there in this morning that they have received a divine right from the Lord, then it must also be different. But of course, that is also a question. We can never die with not one man in the world, even not with converted people, even not with God's servants. No. That is all too short. But still, there always are some in the church that you say, oh, I am jealous to that man or to that woman. I am jealous to that portion that they had received from the Lord. And we have to think so many times in what dark times we are living now, really. And that there is so little of the work of the Spirit that is revealed in our days. I believe there is always some, all that have no freedom and liberty, that is in strife and that have to fight with so many struggles for themselves. But oh, that the time may come that the Lord bring them to solution for the soul, that they have freedom and liberty to tell what the Lord has done to the soul, and that they receive that consciousness that the Lord is a portion for time and for eternity. I hope that all those who came here in this morning without the divine right that the Lord uncovered them before that it is too late forever and ever, that he may lose the bands of that people that cannot go out, but that have a great strife for himself in their heart. And those who have nothing to do with it, oh, I hope that the Lord bind it to their heart and soul. As I have told you already, it shall be required from our hands that once in the day of judgment, when Christ come on the clouds to judge the quick and the dead, and I hope that the whole congregation, also in this evening, that they may convinced of the necessity to be united with Christ, as that Savior and Mediator given by the Father to his church. And about the necessity of that, I will explain that in this evening with the help of the Lord out of my text, which you will find in the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Thus far. When Christ spoke these words, beloved congregation, then at the end they have said, it is an hard saying, and I will call that also in this evening an hard saying, the words of my text. But in the first place, that hard saying that must be explained, and in the second place, that hard saying that must be experienced. I hope, with the assistance of the Lord, to explain it to you briefly in this evening, that the Holy Spirit apply it to our hearts, and that each and every one, partakers or not partakers of the Lord's Supper, that we receive in this evening our part for ourselves. Now in the first place, the Lord Jesus, as we have heard last week, then he was talking about himself as the bread of life, giving the assurance to his people, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But now in the discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is an elevation. The Lord, he goes on from step to step to explain to that Jewish people and unto his hearers what is necessary to the eternal salvation. Because Christ was sent by the Father in this world, and it was necessary to believe in him to receive eternal life. And that was now the purpose in all the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, to place himself in the center or in the middle, and to preach to them the necessity to know him, to believe in him, and to receive him as their only portion for time and for eternity. Now Christ, he speaks in our text about his flesh and blood, and that we have to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and to drink his blood. And of course, it is no wonder outwardly that the people that they say it is an hard saying, because they were in the meaning that Christ now presented his own body to eat it and to give his blood to drink to the people. That was, of course, a misunderstanding. The Catholic Church takes that over in the doctrine that they have of transubstantiation, because the priest that blessed those wafers, and he blessed the wine, and then immediately, so he is saying to the people, immediately when he blessed those wafers, then that changed in the body of Christ, in his bodily flesh, and that wine that changed in his blood. And of course, there are people that believe that. For us, it is foolishness. I have seen it sometime also on the boat, because every morning they have mass thrice. And then sometimes when I passed by that room, then I saw something about it. And then I thought, oh, what foolishness, what foolishness. But of course, that people was brought up in that, and they believed all what the priest told them. They believed, but they take literally
The words of the Lord, this is my body and this is my blood. And of course that Jewish people, they did also not understood what the Lord Christ told them. It was foolishness for them, because they would say, how can now this man give his body to eat for us, his flesh, and his blood to drink? That is impossible. How can that be? But of course, the natural man understands not the spiritual things of the Lord. And we need also, that is for us the same, we need in our life the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. And now we have in the first place to consider in this text two things. And that is the preparation of this food, and then the participation of this food. In the first place, in other words, the preparation of that food. And we understand with that the whole life of Christ in the state of his humility. And then in the second place, that other point, the participation of that food. Of course, that is easy enough to understand. We must take in that food for ourselves. Shall we have the results and the fruit of that for our own heart and soul? In other words, when Christ is a stranger to us, and he remains a stranger in our life, then there is no hope for our poor soul for the great eternity. The preparation of that food. Christ came in this world not to rule, but he came here to suffer and to die. Because by nature and by virtue of the fall of Adam, we all lay under the penalty of the covenant of works. We are worthy, in other words, that the Lord cast us away out of his holy sight. We have, by virtue of our fallen Adam, we have no right to live on earth. We have no right to receive one of the blessings from the Lord, because we have forfeited everything and we are the subjects to the wrath of God. And when the Lord cast us away in hell, we have to say nothing. We can only accept and say, Lord, thou art right in all thy actions. But now the condescending and inscrutable mercy of the Lord, that he has given his only begotten Son instead of their people, instead of the world, because Christ died for the sin of the world. And for that reason he is called in 1 John 4, verse 14, he is called there the Savior of the world. That means not that we all, that we teach a general redemption as a remonstrance, no. Because Christ died not for all men. He only died for his church and for his elect and for his sheep, as Hallenbrook had taught us in his question book. But at the other end, the offer of grace that comes to all men living in this world. How can it be that there is some that say that is impossible? We have to preach only to converted people. No. We have to preach to all men. You take only the text in Matthew 28. Preach, go through the whole world and preach the gospel to all the nations. Because amongst all the nations in this world, the Lord has his chosen people. And we don't know the names of that chosen people. No. That is in the book of the life of the life and the Lamb. That is hidden for us. And for that reason we have to bring the gospel to the whole world. That is the calling from the Lord that comes to us. And then the Lord, he shall do with his word what he wants. It shall never be void. No. There is people over the whole world of the elect. And now for that reason, the gospel must be brought over the whole world. To take away from all the people that was living under death, that they not have any excuses. And that they shall condemn themselves in the judgment day. And that they shall rechtvaardig, that they shall glorify the Lord in that respect. Because here, then we have to say so many things. Our heart that is filled with it. One said, I cannot, it is not my will that I was born in this world. I have never asked for that. Oh, what we say sometimes. But there comes up here, oh, it is a sepulcher. It is awful. And another person said, I am uncomforted, I cannot comfort myself. But how few that there are in the world who say, I am the place that I cannot comfort myself. And that is only the people that is convinced by the power of the Holy Spirit. Only the people that take the blame upon themselves. But otherwise, oh, there we have so many complaints, and we have so much to lay on the table, all to cover ourselves, to blame the Lord, and to go out free for ourselves. But that is impossible because the word came to us. And we are responsible for the acceptance of the word. And that is also when we are witnesses of the sacraments, when they be administered. The Lord, he comes time and again unto us with his calling and admonitions, and he declares from heaven that he has no pleasure in the death of a sinner, but dwell in their conversion and in their salvation. Thus we can convert ourselves? No. But there was a time that we could do. There was a time that we could convert ourselves. And that was in the state of integrity.
And we always have to come back to that time.
That we are so wretched now.
Even that we have no desire in the ways of the Lord.
We can never blame the Lord for that, but we have to blame ourselves. And we shall blame ourselves when the Lord comes. Then we take it all upon us. And then we say, oh Lord, I am the guilty one. I am the guilty one. But the blessing, oh Augustine, he said, Lord, when you give unto me what you commanded from me, then it shall not be in vain that you require. And so it is. Oh, and that way we cannot pray. No, that is impossible. But well, we have received a mouth and a tongue to ask. To ask the Lord. For instance, he said in Psalm 81, open wide thy mouth. You can ask the Lord everything. But you want for this time and for eternity. And now I hear people in my midst that say, oh boy, oh, you say that, but I cannot open my mouth, I cannot use my tongue. Be careful now. Be careful. You open well your mouth and you use well your tongue to blame the Lord day and night. That you do. Oh, I tell you another thing, people. If we have desire, if it became to us for us necessary to be comforted, then it must be another story. But with a profession that we are uncomforted, we can become well 100 years with it. You believe? But to experience that now for our own heart, that we are uncomforted, then we cannot live 100 years. No. Then by day and by night, it drives us out unto the Lord. And then it is a different story. But of course, it is necessary that we are partakers of Christ to eat his flesh and to drink his blood. Necessary. Christ suffered and died. And he merited a righteousness that is necessary to our eternal salvation. The whole mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ that is now necessary for each and every one, shall it be well for our soul, for the great eternity, Christ, and that is now the meaning of that text, Christ gives his own flesh as a ransom or counterprice. He gives his flesh. He was crucified on Calvary. And while he was crucified, then he offered up himself to satisfy the justice and all the attributes of the Lord. And God's people that shall be saved in a right way, people, in such a way that the Lord may be glorified. Oh, I tell you, if there comes a time in our life that we receive for our own heart an insight in the mediatorial or vicarious work of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can preach it to all men in the whole world, that we say, oh, if it was possible for me, and now it is possible for every man in the world. And then that man, he said to you, oh boy, I am such a sinner. I am about 30 years old and 40 and 50 and more. And I have never done in my whole life then that was evil in the sight of the Lord. Oh, if you have all the sins of the descendants of Adam, the blood of Jesus Christ washes and cleanses from all our sins. There is a possibility for the greatest of sins. And the Lord, in that respect, he never excluded anybody in the whole world. No. But on the other hand, if it is possible for me, then it is possible for all men in the world. You believe it? Oh, I want that I have the right word to explain it more to you. But there is one text in the Bible. I explain it by my own words. Maybe that's not so right, but I think that text says that nobody knows what is in men than only the Spirit who is in us. And so it is now with each and everyone. When the Lord comes, people, and he visits us, when we have consciousness of our state and condition of the children, that's a different story. But when that takes place, that we have consciousness for ourselves, then we all lay on the gates of hell when the Lord visits us in his love. And then it is all hopeless for each and every one. But after that, now the Lord comes and he reveals himself to us. And Christ is revealed in the fullness of his mediatorial work. Oh, then we say, come, come. Come now and fly to Christ and to his blood. Oh, for me, such a big sinner and a great sinner it was possible. Oh, you are much better than I am. Oh, it is impossible. Now you talk well that you are so wretched and so sinful. And you talk well that you are so wretched. But oh, I think it is nothing in comparison with me. I think so. Oh, come and bow before him there and open wide your mouth. You can ask the Lord everything and he will satisfy us. Thus now, to participate the Christ and his vicarious work. Oh, it is not hopeless, congregation. No, it is not hopeless for a sinner. If we know ourselves as a sinner, and if we accept our fallen Adam with our whole heart for 100%, all the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, washes and cleanses from all our sins. That is God's word, and that is God's eternal testimony, as we sing now also. Number 416, the fifth stanza, but the Lord will send salvation, and by day his love provide. 416, the fifth stanza.
I gave you a few points that you realize the meaning of our text very right. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. In the first place, what is meant by the flesh and blood of Christ? His Messiah and mediatorial work. I will give my flesh, so were the words of Christ, to be crucified and slain. And then in the second place, instead of the life of the world, which was forfeited by sin, Christ gave his own flesh as a ransom or counterprice. And then further, in order to the life of the world, to purchase a general offer of eternal life to all the world, Matthew 28, verse 19, go and preach the gospel to all the nations, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, and the special assurance of it to all true believers. Does that offer that comes well to, in general, to all men, but the special assurance that is only for the true believers. And then the flesh and blood of the Son of Man that denote the Redeemer incarnate and dying, coming in this world and dying on Calvary for the sin of his people. And then they are meat, that flesh that is now meat, and his blood that is now to drink for our souls. And now in Genesis 9, verse 4, then the blood, flesh with the blood, to eat it, that was forbidden, so as you find in the Bible. But here is it a privilege of the gospel for the nourishment of our souls. Thus in the Old Testament, it was forbidden to eat flesh and blood. But in the New Testament, then that text that said, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. That means not literally that we have to eat the flesh of Christ and to drink his blood, but that means that the Holy Spirit have to apply Christ and his mediatorial work to our hearts, and that we receive it by faith. The applying, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And now the receiving, that is our work. Not in our own strength, but the Lord gave that people grace to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. As many as received him, you read that in John 1, verse 12, then they have given unto them life eternal. And now to eat his flesh and to drink his blood, that is necessary and beneficial. That means this, believing in Christ. But now I have still 4 points, very easy to take it with you to your home and to meditate it in your house. Now, to eat his flesh and to drink his blood, that means this, to believe
in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we understand now? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, through what way shall that now be in our life? In the first place, it implies an appetite to Christ. An appetite, that means in the Holland language, een vurige beheer, een earnest desire. And of course, now in our daily life, when we are in trouble, in distress, and there is nobody in the world that can help us, then we are looking for someone else. And now we cannot help ourselves. No. The law cannot do it. But there is one who is able to save to the uttermost. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the Holy Spirit, he makes room and place in the heart for that Christ. For that reason, Christ must be preached all the time. Not without Adam and Moses, no. Not without Adam and Moses. We have to lay that as a foundation. But then we have, one of our old writers, our divine mate, he said, the first way is cut up. That is Adam. And he said, a second way, the law, that is impossible. But he has seen now the first way, and that is Christ. And he is able to save. And now the Lord, he works in the hearts of their people and desire after him. The more that he breaks the tough here inwardly with us, then the more that the people receive a desire, oh Lord, manifest and reveal thyself to my heart. Oh, that I know thee as the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Thus, in other words, we receive an earnest desire after Christ. And then it comes so far in our life, people, that he takes the highest place in our heart, above an husband, above a wife, above our children. He comes in the first line, the Christ. An ignorant woman, she was given the privilege once, and then Christ was so revealed so clearly in her heart, and then she said to her husband, she said, you always was in the first place for me. But she said, from this time up, not no more. No more. She said, I have now found another husband. I have now found another one. Oh, yes. Oh, I hope there were more of that ignorant people in our midst too. It was not so bad. You think so too? Oh, no. There's an appetite to Christ. And blessed are those who hunger. And thirsty after thee and after the righteousness. And then in the second place, an application of Christ to ourselves. An application. Because it must be applied for us personally that Christ suffered and died for me. And before, beloved friend, that I have that consciousness, there is no permanent rest and peace in our heart. I tell you that. No permanent peace and rest until that I know that Christ was sent by his Father for me personally. And then, there is another point, but briefly. Then in the third place, a delight in Christ and his salvation. And that we have times in our life that it is so wonderful exercise in our heart and in our life. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And whom is there on earth who desire thee? Then Christ, he becomes all and in all. He is altogether lovely for my soul. And then if I have my delight in him, what is then the result, you think, boy? If we have our delight in him, oh, then we will talk about him day and night. And then we have desire to be with him day and night. Oh, then we have desire to sleep in his arms, to walk behind him. Then it is our desire, my meditation is of him, by day and by night. Then he is the fairest among all men, and he takes the greatest place. And then in the fourth place, derivation of nourishment from him, and in dependence upon him for the support and comfort of our spiritual life, and the strength, growth, and vigor of the new men. Thus, to eat the Lord Jesus Christ, his flesh, and to drink his blood, to have them we have life in ourselves, but otherwise without participation of Christ, we have no life in ourselves. And I will close for this evening on account of the hit that it is so hard, but all. I hope, young and old, or we don't know, whether it for the last time was that we have the celebration of the Lord's Supper in our midst, and that we have seen it before our eyes. We don't know. We are living in dark times, and it is not without ground, people, that we have fear for the judgments of the Lord. Oh, it is possible, if it is another 3 or 4 months, that many of our boys are gone to the other part of the world. This danger in the days in which we are living, and we can expect it every day, that the Lord shall come with his punishment upon the earth. But oh, young and old, great and small, that it was bind to our soul the necessity of the participation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to unite it with him, because without Christ no life, without Christ, no expectation. Without Christ, no hope. And I hope the Lord make ashamed all those who were not in truth and uprightness at the table, on that table in this morning hour. I hope. And those who were not here, who stayed there in the seats, but who talk sometime about the work of God. Oh, I hope the Lord bring it home to you. Because our darkness, it can be, and our guilt and our sin. But there is no excuse, people. No excuse at all. Open the wide your mouth. Is the Lord not almighty to take the mountains away and the darkness away in your heart? Oh, yes, but all that we accept the blame for ourselves, and the people that have done it in truth and uprightness. Oh, I hope the devil bothered you not so much in this coming week, but the peace of the Lord may fill your heart, and that he give those who were here and those who were not here, who have reason that they cannot come here. But I hope that both of them, that the Lord may sanctify it to their heart and soul, and that we have our joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him crucified, and that many uncomforted may be comforted, while It is still the day of salvation. Amen. Lord, bless and sanctify thy word and testimony be with us. And the whole congregation and consistory, bless us together in this coming week. Look down in mercy and in grace from on high. Made everything well also when we our school hope to start again in this week. Give liberty and wisdom and understanding to the teachers in the school and all that they need. And be with us in the day of tomorrow. Prevent us from sinning against thee. And that thy eyes will open upon us and our children. O Lord, leave us not over to ourselves. That it not was a dealt a day to sin. But oh, to be in our inner shame. And to meet thee, O Lord, oh, speak to our hearts in peace. And hear us out of thy fullness. For Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 55. The collection will be for our school what we commended to you. The catechism classes will be resumed next Sunday morning, September 8th, and the following Monday evening, September 9th, because a request came from the other churches too, and they make divisions with the schools here in the city that that evening was the best evening that they are free from all the school activities of boys and girls. Thus, they have no more excuses for other for that time. The first evening service will be held as usual this week. Number 55, the Lord my shepherd holds me, and what follows.
something in this dish that I hope to meet Thursday night after service with those who will make confession of faith to regulate the time that we will come together, the next Thursday evening after the service. Receive the blessing of the Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.